Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
It is Shake Them Ropes for the weekend of December 12th. There's a lot to get to, Jeff Hawkins, as we were going through what we might discuss. You were bringing up a lot of things from like 18,000 years ago, like Deadline, like Raw. Like all these different NXT in general, we're not going to talk about any of that. We are looking forward. We are pushing forward here.
Okay.
We might talk a little bit about what happened the last couple of days, but mostly pushing forward. And we have another top five list at some point. And you're going to hear me chewing a lozenge of some sort to make sure that we don't have a repeat cough-a-thon like we did a couple of weeks ago. Jeff Hawkins.
Hi.
How are you doing? As we head into, we are 2 weeks away, less than 2 weeks now until Christmas.
Yeah. Had a very bad phone call right before this, but I need an attorney and no one will, I can't hire anybody. Other than that, I'm good. Nope. I'm heading to Arizona on Saturday. Gonna spend a couple weeks with the parents, get my medicals done. Looking forward to getting out of Los Angeles.
Getting out of Los Angeles, going to Arizona, you have people doing last-minute lawyering endeavors. Let's just make this the Jeff Hawkins Talks About His Life show, shall we? No?
No, I'm here for wrestling. That's it.
All right. Well, let's get into one of the biggest shows coming up this weekend, of course, is Saturday night's main event. We have Gunther, who won the last time, is now tournament, beating LA Knight. He's going to be in either the opener or the main event against John Cena, whatever it happens. I know last week I was all about this one being the opener based on things John Cena has said, but yeah. I would have to imagine that this ends up going last and is the main event of the show. Where do you stand on, as we go into the full card, where do you stand now going on? We are just a day away from John Cena's last professional wrestling match as we are understanding.
Where do I stand on what? Where it is on the card,
what are your
or just in general?
Going in, John Cena's been a big part of your childhood.
my second childhood.
I mean, the top guy of the last 21 years is going away.
Yes, and yes. No.
There's been some years where he's been gone, but he is going away. Are you feeling anything?
I have a strange appreciation. I was thinking about this today for John Cena and the ability to both be kind of that Hogan-esque power player on top, okay, but also at the same time to actually show ass in certain times in his matches, or to be the weak guy, to be weak, you know, against Brock. I mean, he's leaving. Although, God, I could see him putting at least one last move on Brock on this Saturday night's main event.
Oh.
Just to get I mean, an appearance at least by Brock. One. I don't think Brock's flying in. No, I know, but it's weird. Like, what is your, like, and also, like, I was like everybody else. I hated him being shoved down my throat for so many years.
Sure.
I didn't like Thuganomics. I thought it was dumb. But there are moments where you're actually just, you know, surprised and enjoying yourself. Like when he came back for that rumble in Madison Square Garden, when you thought he was like 6 months out from even getting in the ring again.
Oh, sure.
That was kind of an amazing thing. Despite
it's one of his biggest moments to me, that Royal Rumble where he came back, was entrant number 30, ended up winning. It was a fun Royal Rumble in general. That was Madison Square Garden. You had Roddy Piper involved. You had Mick Foley. He had a bunch of different people involved. That was the Shawn Michaels. I think Shawn Michaels Undertaker went number one and two, right? Because this is the year after they were the last two in there, I want to say. Big show in general. Big show in general. Randy Orton, Jeff Hardy, I think, happened on that show too. My memory might be way off, but I think it was the same show. John Cena, that was one of his bigger moments. He's had moments with almost every single top star in WWE over the last 20 years. He's beaten most of them, if not all of them. The time is coming down. I'm of a generation where my first main event guys were late 90s Hulk Hogan, or Sting, were Randy Savage still hanging on. A little bit of Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, and then it was Steve Austin, The Rock, Shawn Michaels on the WWE side. That is my first generation. Most of them, well, all of them are no longer wrestling at this time, but John Cena represents that second wave. And man, did he stay around for a long time. We've talked about this before on our never-ending streak of hosting Shake Them Ropes together over the last 12 years, but some of these main event players had very short runs. You look at Steve Austin as a main event guy, had a 4-year run. You look at The Rock, had a 3-4 year run. A lot of these guys had very short runs. And then here's John Cena as a top guy. Whenever he was around, he was the big star for the last 19 years. So it's not only the end of an era, it's almost the end of two eras.
It's hilarious to me that you say 4 years is a short run.
Well, I mean, it's a big run to be as hot as they were. But when you compare it to the fact that Dolph Ziggler was on WWE TV for 15 years, John Cena
but he
was
wasn't
the top
a top. But he wasn't a top guy for 15 years.
Well, some
either,
of these guys' run, I mean, Steve Austin's run in WWE in general was only 6.
Yeah, you say only 6 in pro wrestling, but then again, this is my age talking, because
I think the new era of pro,
my first wave was Adam and Moses. So I get it.
Yeah, gorgeous George was the hot new
gorgeous
star.
George.
That you
were sick. Abe Lincoln was trying to bring the country together. Yeah, I know, but it's
every main event featured a bear.
The Horsemen were only 3 years from beginning to end, really.
That's true. I mean, up until this generation, though, I think that's part of my point, right? Is up until this generation, people had short runs. Then John Cena's the top guy. Randy Orton has been at the top of the card for the better part of 2 decades now. Seth Rollins is going to be in WWE for 20-plus years, most likely. CM Punk took that little break in between there, but I could see him being a top guy in WWE now for over 10 years. Where he's like the top of the card if he gets another 4 or 5 year run in him. These guys are 10 years is like the basic that you think, okay, these guys are the top guys just because they've been around for so long. Roman Reigns has been trying to be a top guy since 2013, right? 2014. And he's
trying.
Still that. I mean, he's having a great time right now, but this is 12 years.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, the better part of 2 decades now, if you're a wrestling fan over the last 2 decades, A little bit of you is departing here. A little bit happened last year with Sting. Sting had a big time run. Now, he wasn't a main event guy for the last 10 years, but I mean, still being on television in prime roles, you could say, like, Sting may not have been a main eventer, but when he was on screen, he was definitely a focal point of the show for AEW, mm-hmm. for WWE, for TNA. And this kind of hit a lot of fans last year with Sting's departure. John Cena's at that level now, and now we get into whether or not Gunther will be the guy who will be the new legend killer in WWE. He beat up Goldberg and sent him packing earlier this year. Will he send John Cena packing with a loss? Jeff Hawkins, how do you see this match at Saturday night's main event playing out?
Someone's tapping out.
Someone's tapping out. No pinfalls here, huh?
No, it's going to be either be Gunther so that they can give him the "you tapped out" chant yet again, or it's going to be Cena. But I don't know, man. I'm going to be honest, because I could go either way. Everything in terms of tradition tells you John Cena loses and he's fine with losing. But you're not making Gunther, really, if he loses. So Gunther's an established star. So you could always, I mean, I love your legend killer bit. If they're going to use that to do Gunther retires all of your second generation childhood stars for Rob McCarron.
Why not use it?
And I'm here for that, too.
I really do think heading into a WrestleMania, we're going to see that be a big storyline with Gunther, because I don't think he's getting in the world title picture. At this point, I don't see him in the IC title picture, you know, going in before Dominic won the belt back. I was thinking, okay, this is where Gunther wins the IC title, and he makes this the television belt that's, you know, the main event of every other Raw or so. And it doesn't look like that's happening anytime soon. You got Rusev there, and you got Sheamus. You got some guys that Gunther could get over on and have some big time hoss matches with on Raw and TV. So what he's going to do in WWE for the next several weeks to months is going to be interesting to me. But yeah, if we're going to have maybe a Chris Jericho or someone else or a Randy Orton come back and need a big program for WrestleMania and Gunther's open there, why not? Why not do some type of legend killer run with Gunther, especially using John Cena? Because the memory of John Cena should be used for the next year. I mean, yeah, this is his last match. He may not be on TV, but gosh, you could use the aura of John Cena on television over the next year. So yeah, I think Gunther's going to win. A lot of the discussion has been, does Gunther really need it? Should this have been someone else? Someone else could have used this more. I don't know if it's about using. I think Gunther and John Cena could be a good match, and I think Gunther is going to be a big-time player over the next several years, so why not Gunther?
Someone wrote something on X today that struck with me. I think it was Ibu from Wrestle Purists, or formerly of Wrestle Purists, who said... Yes, Twitter. I thought you were going to jump down my throat if I called it Twitter, though. So.
Pronounced Twitter. I probably would have either way you went.
I can't.
Welcome
win.
Back, Rob.
But he said, you know, you're never in doubt about how WWE feels about somebody based on their television time and their position on the card. So there really is no use for, oh, you could make a guy here. They can make a guy at any time if they want to, really. All they got to do is keep winning. See, Javon Evans, which they still choose not to make a guy for some reason. Well, yeah. I thought Carmelo Hayes probably could have used this tournament to elevate him a little bit, but they don't want to elevate him right now. So.
Yeah, but see, I'm also torn between, yeah, you want to make somebody, right? You want to give someone the rub from John Cena. John Cena's got to put someone over the next big star. You also want it to be a big time main event spectacle. That
yes,
show.
Yes.
John Cena Javon is not a big time.
Is
event
not, is not a draw.
Cena's last match.
No. You're exactly correct here. And right. It's well, one of those things where, you know, we're even using the classic WWE trope of the giant foreign monster versus the, you know, face of the company, quote unquote type thing here. Yeah. So I don't, it's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, you need this to be a draw. You can't just make a new guy because you don't have a new 25, 26 year old guy who fits all your boxes and you're got a rocket on, unless it was Braun Breaker, but you already pushed him and then kind of cooled down a bit because, well, you know, not glass ceiling, but we have a lot of people on top right now. We're going to make him. They always want to make their guys at WrestleMania. They don't want to make them at Saturday night's main event. Streaming. Why would you want to do that necessarily?
The whole relationship with Saturday night's main event is going to be interesting over the next year. Now that WWE's priorities are ESPN and Netflix, can they have a third priority with Peacock? Are they going to get a show on NBC? They're getting the most of the library is coming off of Peacock here soon and going to the YouTube channel. So you're strictly going to be in business with Peacock and NBC basically for a handful of Saturday night's main events and the NXT shows. And maybe you'll see more NXT shows. Maybe you'll continue to see these Saturday night's main events come out pretty regularly, like three every 4 months has been kind of the pace we've just now come to. We got another one in January, I believe, too. So maybe it's every month we're going to have a Saturday night's main event. And we're going to have PLEs, Saturday night's main events, and also all these NXT shows. So we'll see the relationship with Peacock as it develops. Another big match on this show, we have a new NXT champion. Oba Femi beat Ricky Saints for the NXT championship. So he goes on to face Cody Rhodes at Saturday night's main event. I can see this one being the opener of the show. Or if they open with John Cena, this is the main event. But Oba Femi, Cody Rhodes, Jeff, does WWE make a splash here and really bring up Oba Femi on this night that's supposed to make new stars? Maybe we're misplacing our eyeballs on Gunther. It's like, why do you need Gunther in there? Why do you have to make Gunther? Gunther's already great. Maybe it's Oba Femi winning the title on John Cena's last show that gets him to the next level.
It's fascinating, isn't it? I wrestled with this one over the week, and I go, it's such a good idea. And Cody doesn't care. But they're building Cody and Roman for Mania. There's no way in hell they're going. It looks that way.
Yeah, it certainly does look that way. Do we really need Cody and Roman for the third time in, what is it, 4 years now?
I mean, Oba is a nice wrinkle in there, but the guy that Oba would then feud with is Cody, and then you have to figure out, okay, where do we put Roman now? Do we put him against Punk?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be a big babyface versus babyface match, and I think all the speculation going into WrestleMania with a Punk versus Roman match would be, okay, who's turning? Who's turning? Yeah. It's like Jey Uso the last 3 months. when's he going to turn? Who's turning now? You can't have who does Paul Heyman go with going into that one at this point. I think if you listen to a lot of the reporters that are out there, you're kind of wrestling with the fact that, okay, it looks like Cody versus Roman and it looks like CM Punk versus Bron Breakker possibly at WrestleMania. But if I'm trying to sell out and make this second year in a row in Las Vegas, this big time event, it's like, I'm probably going CM Punk Roman Reigns. Okay. And I might be going Cody Rhodes rematch with Oba Femi, or I might be going Cody Rhodes The Rock if he's going to come back, although I don't think The Rock's going to wrestle on the show. I do think he'll be wrestling at the next WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia, but probably not this one. Maybe you try something a little bit different with Cody Rhodes than giving him Roman Reigns again. I still see this one as a toss-up. I could see Oba Femi absolutely walking out of the show as the world champion. But it's hard. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to bet against Cody Rhodes until I see it happen.
Would it be easier for you to decide if this wasn't Oba and if this was Trick Williams?
God, no, I think Oba has a better shot.
Do you? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I do. Yeah. Just the way that Trick Williams has been Trick Williamsing the last few months. I don't see. I mean, he's kind of done the Carmelo Hayes without coming up to the main roster. It's like he's kind of there, which is a sad thing. Maybe Trick Williams can come up and really take the reins a little bit. But right now, no. I think Oba Femi, if this whole night, again, is going to be about the next generation, show him. Show Oba Femi come in here and be dominant, and you could have your SmackDown Brock Lesnar in Oba Femi. The crowd seems to like him. Let's see what the main roster crowds do here. But I'm going to go out on a limb. You know what? I'm talking myself into it. Oba Femi is going to win the champ. Well, it's a champion versus champion match, so it's not even for the title. So,
oh, it's 100%. Not? Okay, yeah, you can beat. Oh, okay, then I thought it was for the title. Yes.
100% Oba Femi's winning.
Yes.
If it's not for the title, 100% Oba Femi's winning.
Yes. Yeah. Possibly with Ricky Saints trying to screw him or something like that, or I don't know.
I could see Obafemi win this match. Ricky Saints somehow heals out Cody Rhodes, and they actually do Ricky Saints Cody Rhodes in some form or fashion.
I could see that too.
Obafemi just reigns supreme on NXT for a little bit. And then you always got Royal Rumble to see who kind of shakes their way up to the main roster. So yeah, champion versus champion, not a title match.
Obafemi
is going over Cody Rhodes. John Cena is going to lose to Gunther. We have a tag team match, AJ Styles and Dragon Lee, not defending the titles against Javon Evans and Leon Slater. Leon Slater, Javon Evans, do they get a big win here? Or is them showing off their skills going to be good enough for WWE in this instance? And we get a AJ Styles, Dragon Lee, and AJ Lee victory here on Saturday night's main event.
Leon Slater is still not an employee of one WWE. So this will be a nice exhibition, but they will lose.
We should also make sure we report out that none of the wrestlers on the show are employees of WWE. You should know this.
We don't want to get anyone in trouble. Yes, they're all independent contractors and have free will to do whatever they want and work whenever they like.
This is going to be the best match on the show, though.
Yeah, I think so. I think, but I always view Dragon Lee as kind of a wild card on that, but okay, sure.
Yeah, I just don't think AJ Styles is going out there to.
I wish this were Fraxium instead of AJ Styles and Dragon Lee.
Are Fraxium considered WWE guys yet?
Yeah, I think so. They're just on SmackDown
I still feel like they're kind of the young kids, that the whole point of this is veterans in WWE going up against the young kids.
That's true. So I
don't think Fraxium would be there yet. It's the same way that, yes, they're both over 40, but I don't think Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin would have been good in this spot either.
You're correct on that. Actually, it's the AJ Styles and Dragon Lee team, I'm thinking, because would this be better or worse with the New Day?
Ooh, that's an interesting question, actually. But with New Day coming out, and let's talk about this too. The Usos are now a tag team back in the tag team division. Jey Uso has gone back. We're not having a breakup. We're not having a heel turn, at least not yet. The Usos are back. The New Day is right there. You have all of a sudden a spark in the WWE Raw tag team division. I don't think the New Day would have been good in this spot right now, because I think they're better served doing whatever the Usos are going to be doing on TV for the next several weeks.
No, that's true. I was just gave me in my head. I think this is going to be a good match. I think Styles is a great guy for all three of those people to be in the ring with.
Oh, sure. Yeah. AJ Styles, one of them consummate pros.
Yes.
If he were a Major League Baseball player, he would be a hitter's hitter.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
By the way, another underrated Cena moment was the AJ Styles intro that he wrote. I don't know if he wrote it, but kayfabe that he wrote it. But it's
I'm sure there was some chat GPT up in there. A little help. Maybe some human help. I don't know. Does anyone actually get human help anymore? But that was a fun little note on the whole tour, the John Cena press tour leading up to Saturday night's main event. It's like, hey, I wanted to do something for AJ. He's trying to tell the story that he didn't tell anyone in advance, and it was a surprise. Like John Cena breaking the rules. Big rule breaker, this John Cena guy.
Yeah. Yeah, when you think rebellion and
and John Cena.
And going up against the boss.
Going against the boss.
Fighting the man. It's John Cena.
Honestly, if these matches hit at just a percentage of what we think they could, this could be a really good Saturday night's main event in ring and also crowd hype just with John Cena's last match with Cody Rhodes and Oba. We also have Bayley versus Sol Ruka on this show. Bayley going down against Sol Ruka. This screams a match. If Gunther's winning, if AJ Styles is winning, maybe if Cody Rhodes is winning, this screams the match where Bayley's taking an L here.
Yeah, but this also feels like the match where Zarya comes down and ruins it for Sol Ruka.
Okay.
Because they're doing that breakup type thing.
Sure.
This could be a great Saturday night's main event, or it could be a completely story, push the angles, who cares about the work rate type of thing too. I think Bayley.
Well, I mean, John Cena, you talk about just storyline and throw the work rate out. John Cena ain't going out here for the last time just to do the five moves.
Right. No, that's true. I get that. And Bayley's not going to either. So
yeah,
but
Bayley's
I could
not
also
going
see
out to do that. But yeah, does Bayley need a win right here? No. Maybe they do drive some NXT storylines on the show because you have that synergy with Peacock, the channel that NXT pay-per-views are on. So yeah, I can definitely see some storylines being driven forward here on the show and not just here's the hot young star. Let's see if they win and then match is over. Goodbye. We go to the next one.
Okay. Let me put this to you though. Yeah. If Bayley loses, do they bring back that split personality storyline that appears that they've kind of dumped for a while?
See, I don't know. I don't know if they bring it up on this show. I don't know if Lyra even gets involved, or maybe Lyra does get involved to counter whatever might happen with the Sol Ruka side.
Yeah.
They've done some interesting stuff on TV to kind of play away from the whole dual personality and just make Lyra and Bayley both kind of, you know, eccentric in a
way. I'm going to go with you. I think Sol Ruka does win this, though.
Yeah, I think this match screams, like, of all the ones that I would put all my money on for an NXT personality to win, it's the Bayley Sol Ruka match. And that's why you put her in there with Bayley. I mean, Bayley's going to have a good match with her and doesn't need the victory, especially with her being in the tag team division. It's pretty much still in the tag team division right there. So that is Saturday night's main event. Almost or just over 18,000 tickets sold for this show already.
Jeez.
There in Washington, D.C. And this actually is the subject of this week's top five list, Jeff. It is top five likely personalities to make a cameo appearance on Saturday night's main event to show up for John Cena's last match. Top five names to show up at John Cena's last match. I got a couple of honorable mentions. I do think this is a time. All right. We might get Mick Foley back showing up here. He doesn't really have that big of a storyline with John Cena. Doesn't have that much of a history with John Cena. But we haven't seen Mick Foley in a while, and this is a special event. Why not put Mick Foley on Peacock? And then this doesn't even qualify as a special appearance at this point, but this is kind of her gimmick now, to just show up in the crowd during a PLE and be like, oh, Stephanie McMahon is here. Stephanie's going to be in the crowd and shown at some point. She's going in the Hall of Fame this year, so I think they're going to be highlighting that a little bit. Stephanie will be in the crowd, but here, okay, those are my honorable mentions. Top five names. Tell me if you agree, disagree, or don't even care, Jeff Hawkins. Number five.
Okay.
Number five, Robert Van Dam.
Disagree. Don't think he
disagree. Cares. Ooh, not getting Rob Van Dam back. I mean, he's got some history with John Cena back in the early stages of John Cena's career. Timothy Chalamet, the main event of his favorite pay-per-view ever, One Night Stand 2006. Robert Van Dam. I can see Rob Van Dam showing up for a crowd shot.
Does Timothy Chalamet show up for his last match?
Number four, Timothy Chalamet.
No.
Number four, one Adam Copeland.
No, God.
People have been begging for Edge to be one of these final matches for John Cena. Maybe he just shows up in the crowd. This one to me is the least likely, I think, of any of the ones that I'm about to say. But I could still kind of see, I wouldn't be shocked. Let's say it. If there's some backroom dealings going on with, hey, Netflix might own the channel you're on. Maybe make nice with us right now and give us Edge for a night. Number three, Goldberg. Goldberg has his career ended by Gunther. Maybe he's going to show up to back John Cena against this Gunther fella.
I thought about that. I thought about a spear to Gunther helping John Cena win.
Yeah, maybe you get a new final Goldberg moment, spearing Gunther. Does John Cena need the help?
Does Triple H want to give Goldberg a makeup? I'm going to say no on this one. I think Goldberg's probably still a little chap-assed about it, too.
Okay. All right. Number two, Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Check out the YouTube channel of this episode to see the face that Jeff Hawkins just made.
Oh, man.
I wish I screenshotted that.
You can't.
Buy a ticket? Vince McMahon coming in here, buying a ticket. He's an invited guest to John Cena. John Cena still loves Vince McMahon.
Yeah, but no, because that crowd will boo the hell out of him.
Okay. Number one, John Cena's dad.
Yes.
Another honorable mention, actually, too. Could this be, just to show up, I mean, another guy that had a big history with John Cena, Batista, Washington, D.C.?
Yes. I think possibly Batista shows up. Let me throw one to you. Does Kurt Angle show up?
Ooh, Kurt Angle. I mean, yeah, Kurt Angle has a big history with John Cena. I could see them very well doing the row of superstars at one point, just going down the row of all the guys that had history with John Cena. Maybe have an appearance at some point in the show from The Undertaker, another guy who had somewhat of a history. You brought this name up even before we started recording, and I don't see it being possible because he's not an elder statesman officially, right? He's still the Beast. Brock Lesnar, I don't think, is appearing on screen on this show.
No, you'd have to pay him too much to show up.
Right. And it's not like a guy that just shows up in the crowd to be like, oh, John, yeah, congrats. That's not.
I'll throw this out there because these rumors were out there.
Okay.
Does our president make an appearance?
Ooh, he's got other things going on.
Yes.
I think right now to be showing up to a professional wrestling event.
Yes.
No, I don't think, one, I don't think it's big enough to show up an arena for a Peacock live event. I don't see that. I see Vince being one.
They can tell him it's UFC and he shows up.
I mean, he might believe it. The marbles rolling around out there might believe it. I don't know. I don't think that one's a likely one. I didn't even have that on my honorable mentions. I would say Edge is more likely.
I think Kurt Angle is my odds on favorite for showing up.
Kurt Angle is a good one. Kurt Angle, kind of in the same vein as Rob Van Dam there, where they're not, you know, they're not in the outs with WWE by any means.
Right.
They don't have any active roles, and they could just be called every once in a while to come show up. So yeah, that ilk, I could see a row of folks kind of like that showing up. It's like when Cody Rhodes and AEW would always have like DDP kind of show up there, and maybe Booker T. I could see Booker T show up on screen. I mean, right now he's just announcing NXT, but I could see a Booker T. There's going to be some names that we may, Dolph Ziggler, Matt Cardona, you know,
maybe
showing up in the crowd. Some of the guys who came back for this Last Time Is Now tournament.
I can see that
happening there too. So that is Saturday night's main event. Like I said, there's another Saturday night's main event coming up in January. It is January 24th. It's going to be happening in Montreal. So that could be a crazy crowd there as well. So yeah, they're pretty much doing these once every month, maybe taking a month off every once in a while. Saturday night's main events are as regular as the PLEs. So now effectively you have almost three PLEs every 2 months happening these days.
Streamer's going to stream. It just isn't as impressive as on TV in my estimation, but they also don't have the constraints. And this is where, do they go on first or last? They don't have the constraints of network television either.
Right.
So they can go long if they want to do it last and give John Cena, you know, all the time in the world to do his retirement, whatever. Ventura's going to be there, I guess, too.
Jesse Ventura is saying that he's going to be back after taking one off. People thought he might have been done with WWE. That may not be the case. I'm kind of over the whole Jesse Ventura thing for nostalgia purposes, even. Like, to me, he's just actively bad on the show to where it's just, let's just put someone who's good on the show and can get over the stories and not sound embarrassing. And it's not even a point of like, oh, what's Jesse Ventura going to say? Like, I got to tune in to see what Jesse Ventura says.
Yeah.
I'm kind of.
Well,
over.
Actually, he could undercut it all, too. That's well, that, yeah. Fear.
Yeah. I mean, he very well could. Drew McIntyre probably still wants to kick his head in for.
Yes.
So.
God.
Maybe Drew McIntyre makes a return. He's suspended. The cage match is over. Maybe Drew McIntyre plays a part in this Obafemi Cody Rhodes match. Cause I still think they're going that way. They're going Cody and Drew one more time at some point. Will it be for the title? Will it be WrestleMania? What will it be? We shall see. What are your thoughts? There's been a lot of online talk, at least in the groups that I'm following on the Twitterverse and whatnot. A lot of talk about LA Knight. People thinking that LA Knight either deserves better or they're really giving it to LA Knight. Do you have any takes on LA Knight's past few months in WWE?
He's properly rated where he is. He's in that top tier, but he's not going to be the guy. And this is the run of his career. I think he's also, unfortunately, because everybody kind of compared all his promos to Rock meets Austin type thing, he's kind of slotted in the people don't believe he can be a top star. He's just copying other people type of a thing. But like that beatdown was fantastic on Sunday. And if they decide to bring him back with a little bit more of an edge to him, given how he can talk, he'll be just as hot again when he comes back. I mean, the thing that's hurting LA Knight is losing so much on TV to me. If you think he's a top guy. Now, I don't think they think that he is an upper echelon guy, but not necessarily a top guy.
Not everyone can be the main event guy, the champion. I mean, you have a whole lot of titles, but not everyone can be the champion. And there's only so many spots for the main event matches, even when you're doing like WrestleMania over two nights and so forth. And this is not his time right now. So he's losing, and there's always the chance that he can come up again and be that top guy at some point. But Jey Uso lost a lot of matches. Yeah, he won some, but he lost a lot of matches. But you're right. This the run of LA Knight's career, being in the main event, working all the top guys, working Gunther, working Jey Uso, working CM Punk, Seth Rollins on one of these most recent Saturday Night's main events. A lot of people are just assuming that he's probably upset, pissed off, discouraged by losing so much. I'm thinking this guy's working every single main event, working almost every single show, SmackDown, Raws. Guy's probably one of the top money makers right now in WWE in general. You think he's gonna give that away because he's losing some matches right now? The guy is ever present on WWE TV. Sometimes that's the goal. It's not to be the world champion. It's to be like, I want to have a gig where I'm a regular.
Yeah, it's so many fans are like, well, he's not gonna be champion. I mean, what about his legacy? And it's like, if the check is clearing for a lot of guys.
That's all legacy.
That's all that matters, you know? It's not, oh, I might be hurting my Hall of Fame case if I lose too much or something. No, he's getting paid main event. If he's getting paid main event money, let him stay here and have four or five more years at this position, and I think he'll be fine.
Everyone has different roles. And if the role gets you on television, if it gets you in main event of TV matches, if it gets you when they do run house shows, top of the card house show matches. I don't know if LA Knight, what he thinks about his current run or what he thinks there, but I'm sure as heck thinking that he's making some money and he's probably happy with a lot of it. Chelsea Green, this is kind of the Chelsea Green thing, right? She's made a joke, and she recently came out and said, hey, I'm happy to be the butt of joke on WWE TV because it got me a deal. It gets me on TV every week. And it gets me a regular income stream and regular wrestling dates that I couldn't get for the last 10 years. LA Knight was not having those regular dates and this WWE viewership and exposure over the last 10, 15, 20 years, like he is right now. The best part of his career is being on TV every week and losing matches against top guys. It's not like he's going out there and losing against Carmelo Hayes right now. I mean, he's losing against the best of the best. The guy's on the way up, and at no point is LA Knight even considered like a mid-carder. Like this is a guy who could, they could put him in the ring with Cody Rhodes on a PLE tomorrow, and I could be like, you know what? He might win. He might.
You're getting to something, and I adore you for doing this. That gets me rankled when I talk wrestling. I work in another territory where I talk about AEW. And they just can't seem to understand, you know what, being on TV and being shown as a star and being able to entertain and get people to interact with you,
yeah,
is probably a lot better than having a highly rated match that's critically acclaimed. Would you rather be in the blockbuster or in the art house movie? That's the question here. And I you know, when Chelsea said, I want to be the female Miz.
Yeah.
Other people mocked her, and I went, she gets it.
She gets
Miz,
it.
Miz has and been Miz. There forever. And
another
has
guy 20 years going.
Not only 20 years going, but started with a great deal that he negotiated because of this reality TV thing, and has only gone up from there. And so once you realize the point is to make money. And to get on television and to entertain and to be memorable in some way.
Oh, yeah. I'm really sad that I'm getting a main event match every week, brother. Yeah. I'm really sad I'm getting a 3-year, 4-year, 5-year contract. Yeah. LA Knight. The big star in WWE. The guy, he's in the ring with everybody. Why not? God. Jeff, are you going to watch Saturday Night's main event live?
I think so. It depends. I'll be in Phoenix by then, so I don't know what I'll be doing that night, but maybe.
All right, let's go do that. Let's see if anything happens that's worthy of us talking about it next week, even though by next week, this Saturday night's main event will have been 18,000 years in the past.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.